When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia, and today it's time to begin the preparation. That's right. We're going to have our first big mock draft of the year. To help us run it is, of course, Pat Fitzmaurice, Matthew Friedman, and our special guest from The Score, my good friend and yours, Justin Boone. So we're going to go through a PPR 12-team, 12 million round mock draft. No, it's not going to be that long. It's going to be great. We're going to have a great time here. We're going to start to see where some of these players that just got drafted might go, how we feel about the board. And this is just as important for all of you listening and watching as it is for us to draft against some other live people. So if you want to do this, then what are you waiting for? Go over to fantasypros.com/draftwizard or just download the Draft Wizard app. Start mock drafting now, or you can get into some rooms here in a multi-user draft software. Send the links to your friends, to your enemies, anybody you want, and you could start to mock draft and get prepared for the season, because we all know, before we know it, it'll be here. And gentlemen, we've got a fun group too, because we're also going to be using some of our listeners and watchers. If you want to watch the draft, and I know you do, make sure you do it on our YouTube channel. So subscribe to Fantasy Pros YouTube right now and click that little bell till it goes ding for notifications. Boone, I haven't talked to you in a while. Is this your first mock draft here of the post-NFL draft 2023 era?
It's my first televised mock draft. I guess we could put it that way. No, I'm always tinkering. I'm always playing with it.
Nah.
Sometimes even on the Fantasy Pros site, you guys have an excellent one where you don't need to have 11 friends with you. You can just jump in and go against the computer and go against DCR and all that stuff. So I normally this time of year, I'm probably a little overconfident in my rankings. So I think it's good sometimes to do that and get a feel for where players are in ECR and, you know, where I'm way off versus the group and, decide whether I think I'm really right or, you know, whether maybe they got something that I got to take a look at again and tweak it a little bit. But it's always fun to do this stuff. And I mean, great group here, like three of my favorites in the industry. So it's awesome to be on with you guys, even though our friend D-Bro is ducking me and I want that on camera. He ducked me today. Yeah.
Yeah, it's duly noted, And Friedman, you know, maybe we should consider that for our slogan this year for Draft Wizard. If you don't have 11 friends, you can draft with us at Fantasy Pros, right? I mean, let the robots be your friends, right? AI is taking over anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I shouldn't be the person to weigh in on the marketing. That's not my specialty. I mean, I don't have 11 friends. I've never had 11 friends. So this really, you know, I guess is right up my alley, but it doesn't speak to me the way it would a normal person who does have 11 friends.
And speaking of a more normal, level-headed, likable person, Pat Fitzmaurice, it's great to see your face here in the draft. I know we've got some theories that we all want to work out. I know I've got kind of an idea what I want to do here. Are you the same of me? Like it's great to have other good minds in the draft here to draft against, because it's one thing to draft against the robots in the ECR. It's another thing to draft live against other people. So are you a little worried here that you can't put your plan into action necessarily?
Yeah, it's going to be tricky. I mean, there's some really sharp listeners out there. I recognize at least four or five of them. And then, you know, look at who's on the screen with me here. I mean, this is tough. Like, I've spent enough years choking on Justin Boone's exhaust in the rankings accuracy contest that, you know, I know what a tough competitor Justin is. We're in a few leagues together. So this is going to be a challenge to be sure.
Yeah, and of course, Justin made sure that he put his Fantasy Pros number one ranker trophy right there in our faces, just for all of us, right on camera. So again, 12-team PPR. I want to shout out all of our listeners here who are joining us. I am going to be drafting from the one spot. Pat Fitzmaurice is at 8. Friedman is at 9. Justin Boone took the 3 spot, so that should be a good time here. So for me, going into the draft last year, it was Justin Jefferson 1-1. I still feel like you can make that case for Justin Jefferson as I kick things off here with my first pick. But there's something that's starting to feel a little bit like maybe, just maybe, we're entering the Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase era. And, you know, as easy as it is for me to just go ahead and take Justin Jefferson, I think that conversation between him and Chase is one to certainly continue to have back and forth. Of course, the draft software wants me to take Christian McCaffrey, and anybody who knows me knows that I'm not going to do that. So go ahead, give me Jamar Chase. I'm going to start things off here. Chris is on the clock next with the 30 seconds. So Boone, as you are starting here for your third pick, what are you eyeing?
Do I want to let everyone know? I mean, I don't want him to steal my players.
You can, because Chris can't see you live drafting. He is in the shadows as you were drafting before you joined us. Drafting
for
from
me
the shadows.
At this point in the draft, I don't really think you can make a mistake. I think, you know, everybody at the top, I don't spend nearly as much time on like the first round as I do on every other round, because first round, you're basically, the only thing that's going to come back and hurt you is injuries, right? Like that's normally where you're going to have your flaws. So for me, I know you said that the software here is suggesting Christian McCaffrey, but Christian McCaffrey remains
9 seconds.
My top guy. I know you got the great receivers up near the top, but McCaffrey last year, if you look at it, I think there was 10 games where he played more than 50% of the snaps for the 49ers. And luckily it auto-drafted there. I was too busy talking, but it picked the guy that I wanted.
I tried to give you the 9-second warning, but again, Justin Boone is going to boon wherever he can. But continue on.
If you look at the 10 games where he played at least 50% of the snaps for the 49ers, he was right up there. He was only behind 3 quarterbacks as far as most fantasy points per game. So I'm still with McCaffrey. I'm riding with him. I love that he's in that system, and I think they're going to use him a ton. And I want that. There's only a handful of running backs that give you that kind of ceiling.
I was really looking forward to do that whole spiel. You can't screw up the first round, then auto pick somebody that you don't like. I was really hoping we'd get that moment. All right, Friedman, you're going to be coming up the rear here, so you've got some more time. Pat's going to be on next. So we have Christian McCaffrey going to Boone. Make sure you're not on auto pick, by the way, Booney. Eckler goes at 104, Bijan at 105 to Piggy, who obviously has been reading my tweets for the last month. Then we have Han Swolo, which is, you know, after Friedman lifts a couple weights, what he likes to call himself. He takes Saquon Barkley at 106. Run Lynch is up next, taking Jonathan Taylor at 107. Fitzy, you're on the clock.
I am going to go with Cooper Kupp here. And I'm not too worried about him coming off the injury. And I look at that Rams pass catching group. They really haven't added anything. And, you know, we saw Cooper Kupp healthy. I mean, he was just getting a huge target share. I expect to see more of the same this year. So in a full PPR, let's do it, man. How about 120 catches for Cooper Kupp in 2023?
There you go. That would be nice. Matthew Friedman, you're at the 109. You made your selection pretty quickly, so let's talk about it.
Yeah, I took Travis Kelce. If Cooper Kupp had been there, he probably would have been my pick. But, you know, with him gone, Kelsey's basically a wide receiver who plays the tight end position. If you just look at, you know, what he's done the past 5 years, you know, it's 1,300 yards very consistently, 8 to 10 touchdowns. I mean, you would love to be able to get that from a wide receiver, and you get it at tight end. And, you know, outside of him, the tight end position can be very mercurial year to year. So I'm just happy to take Kelce where I can get him later in round one, and then look to address the other positions coming back.
Nice vote.
Yeah, I love that pick, Kelce there. I have him in my top 5.
Me too.
I would have taken him in the top 5 for sure. And I'll go down with that ship. I know the age cliff's coming at some point for him, but I'll keep playing him. I'll keep drafting him until it actually happens.
Boone, the one thing that I like, and it's funny you mentioned the same thing, because I have him as a top 5 player too, because I like the way the team structure is better, because the wide receivers that are returning to you in rounds 2 and 3, as opposed to when you take them later, that team construction seems a little more difficult. Did that factor into why you have him as a top 5 guy too?
Honestly, I mean, we know how great he is. We don't have to go over that part of it. But also for me, one of the factors is that I don't think there's a guy that challenges him at all this year. Like, I expect better from the Ravens offense, but there's a lot more target competition now for Mark Andrews than there has been in the past. So I have Andrews a little further back than I have in recent years. So for me, that just makes Kelce that much more valuable. He is the guy at that position. And I don't know that there's anybody, I mean, you know, dare I say, like, if it happened for Kyle Pitts, but I don't think it's going to happen for Kyle Pitts this year in that way. So I don't know if there's anyone. We look at George Kittle. All those guys have a lot more target competition than they used to. And Kelce is just the guy at that position. And there's so much value there taking him.
While we were writing love letters to Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill went at 110. Great value there. Then at 111, Josh Jacobs. We'll see if he can maintain the incredible volume year over year that he had. And then his Raider teammate going at 112 to start off the second round at 201. B. Holland selects Nick Chubb. And then we have Scastro. Scastro 1 taking Tony Pollard at 202. Interesting. I don't know if that's a reach there or not. Certainly, we can debate that as it goes. Needs more cowbell at 203, selecting CeeDee Lamb. Matthew Friedman back on the clock for 204.
Took Stephon Diggs there. Wasn't going to let him fall all the way back down to Justin. But, you know, I think there could have been a case made for Amon-Ra St. Brown, A.J. Brown. The thing is, I just wanted to lock in a wide receiver here because, man, I feel like last year in rounds 3 through 6, I could make a pretty compelling case for a lot of wide receivers in that range. And this year I'm looking at it and I just, it feels like it's just a little more dangerous. Like it's easier to make the bear case for a lot of wide receivers in that range this year compared to last year, especially in a PPR format. So I just wanted to grab a wide receiver I felt pretty confident in with Stephon Diggs there in the second round. So happy to get him, but you know, we'll see what that does to my running back position later.
Well, I would say this too. It's a heck of a start. Stephon Diggs and Travis Kelce is really nice core to build off of. Pat Fitzmaurice, you took one of my guys too at 205. Let's talk about Amon-Ra St. Brown, who you drafted.
Yeah, I'm really leaning into the whole PPR thing, aren't I? And it was between Amon-Ra St. Brown and A.J. Brown there. And boy, in full PPR, maybe if it was half, I might have leaned a little bit towards A.J. And the other thing, tell me if you guys agree with this, the Jameson Williams thing kind of swings me a little bit in full PPR past A.J. Brown. Like, that's kind of a decisive stroke, I think, because, man, I mean, remember when, like, Amon-Ra St. Brown broke out and how there was no one else to catch passes for Detroit. I mean, it's not quite as sparse, the pass catching group in Detroit this time around, but he's still far and away going to be the alpha guy until Jameson Williams gets back and possibly even after JMO gets back.
All right, let's continue on here with the rest of the picks after Amon-Ra St. Brown. Derrick Henry goes at 206. Hans Swolo at 207, selecting Mark Andrews in the second round. Ramondre Stevenson at 208. And then Rafi Baum at 209, selecting A.J. Brown. Oh, I was hoping he'll make it back to me. Justin Boone, you went with Garrett Wilson. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, I got excited that A.J. Brown there got sniped right before my pick. So I was in the same boat. But Garrett Wilson came in last year, showed that he was a star, a potential superstar, earned a ton of targets. Now he's getting a quarterback upgrade. He did all that. I mean, he had his best games. We don't have to talk down about Zach Wilson. We know what that is. But he had his best games with Mike White and Joe Flacco. And even though Aaron Rodgers might not be the Aaron Rodgers of old, this is such a huge upgrade at the quarterback position. And I'm not as scared as most that, you know, Randall Cobb is going to steal enough. Last year, there was an interview with Rodgers after they played the Jets. Might have been before, but around the time that they played the Jets. And he highlighted Garrett Wilson as a player that he really respected, that he loved what he brought. And now he gets to play with him. So Garrett Wilson is the new Davante Adams, and we are going to see him be locked in up there. And even though I'm a little more worried about some of the receivers in this range, I love Garrett Wilson, and I think he's going to be a top 10 guy.
Yeah, Jalen Waddle goes right before me. I was really hoping he would make it to me. He did not. So alas, do I want to have T. Higgins and Jamar Chase? Probably not. So I'm going to go ahead and take a running back here. I'm going to cross my fingers and hope that Breece Hall, by the time we get to August on this fictitious team, is healthy and going on his proper schedule. If so, I like the value there I'm getting. Then it's between looking for another wide receiver too. I've got the big boom guy here. It's now about the offenses I believe in. I just believe in the Eagles offense more than New Orleans at the end of the day, despite Olave being ahead. And I know it's telling me to take T. Higgins, but how many Bengals can I start with? I don't know. So Devonta Smith will be the other way I go. Chris is now on the clock at 3:02 to make this selection. And it's Patrick Mahomes. So the early QB going there. certainly was in my brain as well. Boone, where do you want to go here for your third pick? Because I think you're taking the guy that I passed on.
Yeah, didn't waste any time for me there. Another guy who came out last year at 1,000-yard season, looked fantastic as a rookie, and now is getting a quarterback upgrade. Not quite the same quarterback upgrade, maybe, but for sure a quarterback upgrade there. And the Saints, by my metric, have the easiest wide receiver schedule for fantasy opponents this year. So everything's kind of looking great for Olave.
All right, continuing on here, Najee Harris, who I was also strongly considering too. I think you're going to see some improvement there with the Steelers, another year of Pickett, some adjustments they made to the offensive line in the draft in the offseason. That's an interesting selection too at 304. If news is bad on Breece Hall, I think Najee Harris is an interesting early, late second round pivot at running back. Hockenson going next at 305, then Ken Walker at 306. Freeman, did that surprise you, a 306 pick for Ken Walker, considering that backfield looks a little dicey right now for Seattle?
I mean, a little bit, but at the same time, if you are kind of committed to going running back early, I can see it. But I don't know. I probably would have gone with a wide receiver in that spot because he took Saquon in the first round, Mark Andrews in the second round. That to me, that feels like a position to address wide receiver.
All right. T. Higgins was addressed for team 307 for Run Lynch. Then Travis Etienne at 308 to Pat Fitzmaurice. So, Pat, let's talk about Etienne, your expectations for him in 23.
Yeah, so there is a bit of a tier drop off for me after Etienne here, but that's not to say I'm feeling 100% confident about him. I don't love that the Jaguars drafted Tank Bigsby, and it seems like they're not even entirely committed to playing Travis Etienne on passing downs because they also like Jamichael Hasty. But I do think Etienne is still going to be prominently involved in a ascending offense. So, you know, I still like the player, still like the situation for the most part, even if he's not going to be a true workhorse.
Okay. Continuing on here, after Freeman takes DK Metcalf, Freeman, let's talk about DK Metcalf. Pardon me. You're not just somebody. You're very special here. You're on the show. You get to talk about your picks, not like our good friends making them here along with us. So DK Metcalf, obviously, they brought in Jaxon Smith-Njigba, but clearly DK still has a very clear role with Seattle. So do you believe that there's room for him to grow, or have we seen basically the best of DK?
Well, I think we've probably seen something close to the best of DK, but even if that is the case, like DK, what we've seen so far is pretty good. And I think we're still going to see him be the dominant number one wide receiver in that offense. And, you know, at this point, there's sort of the question of, I took Kelsey in round one, Diggs in round two. Would I want to go wide receiver again in round three? And I just feel like there's a little bit of a cliff after Metcalf, and I kind of want to lock down the wide receiver position before pivoting to running back.
Fair enough. Okay, let's see how that pivot works out for you. After DK Metcalf at 310, we have Aaron Jones going to need more cowbell, and you always need more cowbell and more running backs. So he's got a bell cow in Aaron Jones. We have 311, Deebo Samuel going next. Then at the turn, Jalen Hurts at 312. This group is being aggressive at QB, selecting Damian Pierce to start things off at 401, then Keenan Allen on the bounce back. Hopefully old man Allen is healthy in 402. Then Josh Allen at 403. So the elite QB is going off the board here at a quick clip. That puts you back on the board here with a nice value in Amari Cooper, Freeman. Let's talk about your expectations for Deshaun Watson and Amari Cooper for the Browns.
Yeah, I think Cooper is going to do something pretty similar this year to what he did last year. He's been a pretty consistent receiver his entire career. I would expect Watson not to be any worse than he was last year. And there's room for upside. You know, like, I don't know if he's going to approach the guy that we saw in Houston, but maybe he does. And I'm certain he's not going to be as bad as he was last year. So, you know, Cooper going with three wide receivers there in a row, I feel like there's some value there. And Cooper really is like the last of the wide receivers in this range that I would want to consider. So I feel like I've locked down the wide receiver position and then move on from there.
All right, let's continue to move on from there. Pat Fitzmaurice. Oh man, Fitzy, I feel like this draft has fallen right in your wheelhouse. You selected Drake London at 405. So let's talk about your pick here.
Yeah, I mean, most people wake up thinking about getting coffee. Arthur Smith wakes up thinking about running the ball. And I'm still not disappointed to get a pass catcher in a run heavy offense, because London showed right away, even in that run heavy scheme, that he could be prominently involved catching 72 passes as a rookie. So they did endeavor to get him the ball last year, even though they really like to run and run some more. So, you know, pretty happy with the wideout group right now with Kupp, St. Brown, and London.
All right, Chris Godwin, then DeAndre Hopkins, Cam Akers, Joe Mixon, and then 4-10, a rookie goes off the board to Justin Boone.
Yeah, I mean, they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs. We know the draft capital was so high. They bring him in to play that DeAndre Swift role. And Swift had some good games last season, caught a lot of passes. That's what they're bringing Gibbs in for. And if we go back to what Pat was saying about how Jameson Williams is going to be out, we could see Gibbs step in and be the second pass catching option in this offense right away. So I'm really excited to get him there at the end of the fourth.
Yeah, tremendous opportunity for sure. No doubt about that. So after Jahmyr Gibbs goes, DJ Moore at 4-11. So interesting expectations here for that Bears passing attack and what's going to look like this season. Hopefully a little bit more volume. Interesting conundrum here. It's, do you take the Dalvin Cook or situation? And is he playing for Minnesota? Is he not playing for Minnesota? I know there was a little bit of downturn, but not so much that I'm looking at this cliff and the rest of the guys. I'm going to go ahead and take Dalvin Cook here and just take the value as my second RB. And looking ahead to, again, kind of in this group now of wide receivers, this feels like a bit of a clump, so to speak. So I'm looking for value. I've already got Jamar Chase, so I'm going to go ahead and stack Joe Burrow. And if I get that MVP season from Joe Burrow, chances are Jamar Chase is going to be a big part of that. So I'm going to go ahead and stack those two. So Chris is up next at 502. Boone, what are you looking for here in this fifth round pick here coming up?
So I will say, I kind of like what you did there at quarterback, because when I get to the point in draft, if there is a bit of a dead zone where I'm not really loving any of the picks, and right now, not super excited about some of those running backs, I don't think I'm willing to go quarterback there. And if I can find him before the clock runs out on me.
Something tells me it rhymes with Schmanthony Schmitterson. Oh, no, it's not. It's Lamar Jackson. No. There you go.
I'm going to go Lamar Jackson here for all the reasons I talked about when we mentioned Mark Andrews earlier, right? The fact that he's got all these new weapons that you bring in Todd Monken. We figure that they're going to pass a little bit more this season. I think it's setting up for a big year for that Ravens offense, and everything goes through Lamar Jackson there.
I thought long and hard about taking Lamar instead, just because you know the rushing equity and what he brings. It's just a matter of health for me. And if I have Burrow on the board, I'm going to still take Burrow ahead of him. I know some people disagree. Lamar's more the home run, or even Justin Fields, but I figured none of those quarterbacks are making it back to me. As you said, it's this weird dead zone of wide receiver and running back where you're not super thrilled about what's on the board. What's the rest of the board too? You had, again, people having to take guys like Rashad White at 502, you took Lamar Jackson at 503, then Michael Pittman at 504. We really don't know what kind of passing attack Indianapolis is going to have quite yet. Terry McLaurin, what's Washington's passing game going to look like? We don't know. That's 505. 506, good value there with George Kittle. Miles Sanders, who I know a lot of people have expectations for, at 507 goes off the board. Fitz jumps in to the quarterback pool with me and my friend Justin Boone. So let's talk about Justin Fields, Fitzy.
Really excited to get like the last of the truly spectacular running quarterbacks left on the board. And, you know, there are still some other good ones left, but I'm sort of torn between Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert and didn't want to have to make that decision. So I was glad Fields was left. We know he's going to give you running goodness. Maybe he's not going to run quite as much, but I think there's going to be more passing. And now he's got some really appealing pass catching weaponry. Darnell Mooney's healthy. Of course, DJ Moore has been brought in. He's still got Cole Kmet. Maybe Chase Claypool can show us something. So, you know, Fields will get every chance to show us what he can do as a passer this year.
Okay, we'll see if that comes to fruition. I think it's going to be better, too. I agree with you. 509, interesting selection here. I know you needed some RB. So why was James Conner the guy for you and not, say, a J.K. Dobbins, Friedman?
Yeah, with Dobbins, I'm a little bit uncertain with that offense. I imagine them going a little more pass heavy this year in comparison to what they've done previously. And then also, they have tended to rotate in running back. So not 100% sure on Dobbins really dominating there. So James Conner was the guy almost by default, in part because Miles Sanders didn't fall to me. But James Conner, name anyone else in that offense. Like, I feel like it's going to be James Conner there. Hopkins, maybe he ends up being there later in the year, but I could see him getting traded. Kyler Murray, I think unlikely to start the season. So I think the offense for the Cardinals is going to be James Conner, even though I don't think he's all that exceptional of a player. I think it's going to run through him.
So Miles Sanders, had he been there, would be the pick for you. So you do think Miles Sanders can contribute familiarity with the offense and whatnot and this new situation he's in?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he's a better receiving back than what we've seen previously. And so, you know, back with Deuce Daly, I think he's going to be a little bit more of a pass catcher out of the backfield. And I think in terms of just the offense, he's going to be the engine of that offense there in Carolina.
Okay, so after you selected James Conner, then Javonte Williams at 5'10", J.K. Dobbins at 5'11", Kyle Pitts at the turn to B. Holland, and he also selects Deontay Johnson as well. Tyler Lockett at 6'02", as we turn to the sixth round. As we continue to go on here, too, we're going to do a shout-out because we do have a winner of our premium giveaway. We're going to do that at the end of this round here in just a moment. We have Deontay Johnson at 6'01", Tyler Lockett at 6'02". Tremendous value on Lockett there, potentially. 6'03", DeAndre Swift. We shall see how that goes. And another running back from Detroit goes off the board to Matthew Friedman at 6'04".
Yeah, David Montgomery. I mean, am I taking the number one running back here in Detroit? I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs, obviously fantastic talent, but Montgomery is probably going to play the Jamal Williams role. I think getting a lot of goal line opportunities in an offense that is pretty good. And if Jahmyr Gibbs were ever to suffer an injury, I think Montgomery could totally smash because he's also got the pass catching capabilities too. So I do like the value of getting Montgomery in the sixth round.
Okay, let's continue to look at the rest of the picks here, because after Montgomery, Pat Fitzmaurice takes somebody straight out of my queue. It's Isaiah Pacheco. So far, it seems like basically they're going back into what they had with last year. Can Pacheco be the best of that group in Kansas City, Pat?
I think he can be as the primary early down guy. And I feel like Friedman and I were looking at the same running back cliff right there and, you know, not wanting to go over that cliff like Thelma and Louise, you know, because if we didn't take running backs there, I don't think we were going to be really happy about what was coming back to us the next time around. So, you know, there were some other players I liked relatively there, but I think it was the time to take a running back. And yeah, I mean, give me the starting running back on, you know, probably the most potent offense in the league. One of the most potent offenses.
There you go. Those good ecosystems. We always talk about that. After you took Pacheco, Dallas Goedert at 6'06", Mike Evans at 6'07", Jerry Jeudy at 6'08", Mike Williams at 6'09", and then Booney, you took Brandon Ayuk at 6'10".
Yeah, give me pieces of that 49ers offense. I think there's a case to be made that Ayuk's the better fantasy player. Maybe not based on talent necessarily, but the fact that the production, I think when Christian McCaffrey showed up in San Francisco, Debo didn't really put up the same stats, so I love Ayuk, and he's been a guy that I've been on for a long time. Maybe I'm a little irrationally high on him, but somebody that I love grabbing on all my teams.
Well, love is not rational. We all know that, Boone. Khalil Herbert goes next. And before we start the turn for my picks here, I just want to give a shout out to the winner of our contest who gets 1 year Fantasy Pros Premium. It's War Xander. So War Xander, congratulations. Get in touch with our customer support agents. You can do that mailbag@fantasypros.com. Again, hit us up mailbag@fantasypros.com with proof of your subscription to Fantasy Pros YouTube channel and your current fantasypros.com username. We'll get you all set up with your 1 year premium upgrade. War Xander getting it done. And if you want to get it done, again, just drop a comment below here on the draft or any YouTube channel show that you're watching here, Fantasy Pros, and make sure you subscribe, because if you are, you could be the next big winner here this month. So let's continue on here with my picks, looking at the board here as we continue to move through the draft after Khalil Herbert goes at 6'11". This is that dicey time, and it's funny. I feel like we kind of do this every year until we really start to dig even deeper and deeper into players, but it starts to feel like now the talent pool is starting to get very dry. And you either start drafting talent or you start drafting lesser talent on good teams and hoping that that translates. This is kind of, I feel like, that fork in the road moment. I'm going to go ahead when the draft kicks back up again. I'm going to go ahead and take Christian Watson. I don't know what Jordan Love's going to be. I know, Pat, you've probably lost sleep over what Jordan Love may or may not be here for the next season or several. But I'm going to go ahead and take the talent here, and I'm going to take a rebounding wide receiver in Calvin Ridley and just take the talent on the board and see how it goes. So now I've got several wide receivers on my roster along with Joe Burrow. So Jamar Chase, Devonta Smith, Christian Watson, Calvin Ridley. That's my grouping with Hall and Dalvin Cook with Mr. Joe B. So after Ridley goes off at 7:02, Chris is on the clock. Boone, you're up next. What are you hoping makes it to you?
I might go tight end here. I might go Darren Waller. I like when a team makes a move to go out and trade and get somebody. And as much as we talk about that receiver core and there's so many guys, but they haven't actually found a number one receiver, if I'm not getting one of the elite tight ends, and like I said, this year, I think there's only one elite tight end. I want a tight end that I think could be the top guy in his offense or one of the top two options. And I think Waller has a shot to do that.
There you go. Waller falls to you after Treylon Burks goes at 7:02. I just worry about Waller being able to play. I mean, his last 2 years have been just massive incompletes. So that's the only tough sell. But hey, the upside pick, he plays, he does well. It's a huge value. If he doesn't, you're right back to square one with tight end. And I don't know if you missed too much necessarily, depending on what else is on the board at the time. 7:04, Justin Herbert goes next. Then 7:05, Christian Kirk. Fascinating to see. Boone, I want to ask you this question too. With the Jacksonville wide receivers last year, you had Zay Jones, you had Christian Kirk, you had Evan Ingram. How does Ridley working himself back in this grouping now with Trevor Lawrence affect the other guys and Ridley in your opinion too?
Yeah, I think Ridley's still a wild card. People are getting very excited about him, but I think we're just going to see more inconsistency from them, right? They're going to have different guys having big weeks. It's not always going to be Christian Kirk, who I think benefited last year from kind of being the guy. Somebody like Evan Ingram, who had some really big games, especially in the second half of the season. We're just going to see those guys be a little more inconsistent. But overall, this offense is going to continue to get better. Trevor Lawrence is going to continue to get better, and we saw that from him last year. So it's still an offense that I think Pat mentioned before. It's an ascending group, and I want pieces of it for sure.
Do you think that Ridley's a better flex guy than a wide receiver three?
I would say so. When you have someone coming back from a long time off like that, I just have concerns. I want to see him back on the field and doing it. And it wasn't like he was a superstar before he left, right? So I want to see him come back before I feel more confident. But yeah, I would say I would rather have him as a flex than risk him being my wide receiver three.
Well, good. Because that's where I took him. So now I feel really good. All right. Cortland Sutton goes next at 7:05. And then we have Marquise Hollywood Brown at 7:07. Pat, you took a buzzy player who's starting to get a little helium already in May as Jahan Dotson. Talk to me.
Yeah, man. I think he's really good. And, you know, he had 7 touchdowns in 12 games last year and 5 top 20 weekly finishes in 12 games. So, this dude's really good. If you look at Matt Harmon's reception perception work on Jahan Dotson, I mean, there's so much green on his little profile page about, like, you know, how he wins at pretty much every route he runs. I love the guy coming out of school. I mean, he's fast. He runs good routes. He's really slippery after the catch and surprisingly tough on contested catches for a smaller receiver. So really excited about him, even if I don't love the quarterback situation in Washington.
If I didn't go Waller, I would have gone with Dotson there.
Yeah, I can really. I can see that for sure. Matthew Freeman, you went with a second year wide receiver as well. This one was George Pickens. So do you see Pickens taking another step forward in 2023?
Yeah, I think it's possible. He's got that upside case, you know, as you mentioned, advancing into his second season, also with a quarterback who's entering his second season. So we could see that entire offense take a step forward. And, you know, Deontay Johnson has been an intriguing yet underperforming player for a number of years. And so I think there's the opportunity within that offense for Pickens to jump him.
Okay. As we continue to look through the rest of the picks here, Jordan Addison goes at 7:10, at 7:11, Trevor Lawrence, then Brian Robinson Jr. at 7:12, Jackson Smith and Jigba over at 8:01 to kick off the 8th round. Brandon Cooks, his new home, in case you missed it, Dallas. So he is going to be there, hopefully the second pass catcher in this offense now, especially since they don't have much of a tight end situation. Kadarius Toney at 8:03, the ultimate wild card. Maybe you'll get one or two really good quarters out of him. We shall see. Facetious. Speaking of rolling some dice here, too, on a player, Matthew Friedman, Alvin Kamara, the slide stops with you. He throws his hands up, says, why not?
I mean, Joe, we don't even know if we're going to be here tomorrow, you know, so I figured
live in the now, YOLO Friedman hits strikes again.
Why not take Alvin Kamara? No, I mean, I would say in terms of running back talent, running back production, you know, he's a top 12 guy at the position. He's falling because of a whole bunch of certainty. But in the 8th round at this point, all of these guys are, I wouldn't say they're dart throws, but they're all contingent type of players. So at this point, I'll just take the guy that I know has production and has talent if he's on the field.
Fair enough. Speaking of talent on the field too, Pat, I think this is a really cagey 8:05 selection here of Pat Freiermuth. So certainly a guy that has shown you a little bit early in his career. And in terms of the cliff of tight end, I think one of the guys that's a little safer theoretically, right?
Yeah, definitely trying to hit that before, you know, we get into the region of the draft where you're dumpster diving at tight end. Didn't want to do that. And we've seen two pretty good years for Freiermuth. And now the Steelers didn't really add much in the way of target competition. They got rid of Chase Claypool. They brought in Allen Robinson, who might be cooked. So I think there's room for Freiermuth's target share to even grow a little bit here this year.
Okay. So moving on here, after Freiermuth gets selected, I'll go ahead and make my two picks here just to kind of catch up with things. As we continue to go through the board here, after Freiermuth, then you had Juju Smith-Schuster, Dak Prescott, Rashad Penny, Darnell Mooney, Alexander Mattison. Going to you, Boone. Let's talk about Madison.
Yeah, I mean, every report that we're hearing really is making it sound like Dalvin Cook is not going to be back with Minnesota, whether he gets traded or whether he gets released. I know you took Dalvin Cook at this point. I think Friedman brought it up that we're just kind of taking shots on these guys, right? And when you get to this stage of the draft, you want to look for upside. And all it's going to take now is one tweet from Adam Schefter that says Dalvin Cook is no longer on the Vikings. And all of a sudden, Alexander Mattison becomes what, a top 4-round pick, maybe even a top 3-round pick. Like, so it doesn't take very much. And all of a sudden, that's a massive value that I get at that spot.
To follow up on what Boone said there, massive mistake on my part. I wish I would have taken Alexander Mattison. I'm immediately jealous of taking, of him getting Madison when I took Kamara.
Yeah, but you were living in the moment and the sun was shining. So many things were happening there and it was just magical when you did it.
I think they're in kind of a similar spot too, though. And I will say, and I'm not just saying this, those are the two guys that I was looking at this round. It was Kamara and Madison.
Well, Boone, what's your expectation of Kamara this year?
I mean, unless a new piece of news comes out, and I don't know that there's like another development that's going to come, I think he's going to get a suspension and I think he's going to be back. I don't think they're going to cut him or let him go unless we get another development where the public starts to kind of force their hand. So at some point he is going to play this year. And as much as we get excited after the draft about a guy like, you know, Kendre Miller and what's he going to be able to do there, Kamara's going to be out there. He won't be as valuable because Jamal Williams will be there, but he's still Alvin Kamara. So in the 8th round where we are there, I think it's a great pick. I don't think Friedman should feel that bad about him.
Evan Engram goes at 8-11. Then I took Jacoby Myers because Jimmy Garoppolo can only throw the ball 5 yards. And that is perfect for Jacoby Myers. Like, there's a reason why you bring him into this offense, because Jimmy Garoppolo's limitations are what they are. And if you're going to play to the strengths of Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think McDaniels knows what that means, you have to have that possession kind of guy. And Hunter Renfrow couldn't get on the field last year. So Jacoby Myers, why not? I think this is a decent value in a full PPR league. And then I took Quentin Johnston because it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when Mike Williams is out. And eventually over time, this is more of a long-term season investment. I just want this guy on my team because between the health of Keenan Allen, which is could be suspect again, and then the inevitable injured time of Mike Williams, Quentin Johnston's going to get some looks. And when he does, this is a player that I think has enough talent in an offense where they're going to throw the football. Rashad Bateman, I just could not do it. I had it over him. I know the draft board is going to yell at me that I should have taken him. It told me I got to reach on Quentin Johnston. I don't care. I want guys that play. Rashad Bateman goes at 9:02. Boone, this is a little cagey pick. You're a sneaky snake here. Samaje Perine in Denver, yeah. 9:03. Talk about it.
I think he should be higher on people's boards. I know agreed. That we're getting a lot of positive talk, a lot of coach speak, I think, from Sean Payton saying that he thinks that Javonte Williams is going to be back, you know, potentially early in the season. But everything that the injury analysts have said, they compare that injury to more what J.K. Dobbins dealt with last year. And Dobbins wasn't ready to go early in the season and really had a terrible year until sort of the last month or so. So I think Perine is somebody else that it's only going to take, you know, one or two news stories where Javonte's not on track, where Javonte isn't out there at training camp, and all of a sudden Samaje Perine could potentially be the starter in that offense for the first 6 weeks, the first half of the season, something like that. So I'll take that there, just shooting for upside once again.
Samaje Perine looked pretty good in that role too with the Cincinnati Bengals when he had those moments there last year. David Njoku, 9:04, then at 9:05, Jameson Williams, there you go, to Piggy. Piggy and I see a lot of the same players the same, so good job, Piggy. Deshaun Watson at 9:08 to Hans Swolo. That is a huge boom or bust play if he becomes a top 5 quarterback. That's a league-winning pick, potentially. Antonio Gibson getting a lot of buzz, a little Ron Rivera saying, oh, yeah, we want to get Antonio Gibson touches. Sure you do. I've heard that before. James Cook goes next to Pat Fitzmaurice, though. I want to talk about this one because he was the one that I was eyeing up. I didn't pull the trigger. You did. Tell me why.
Yeah, Joe. Well, Ron Lynch really made the decision easier for me because I was trying to decide between Antonio Gibson and James Cook. You know, now that Ron Rivera has been informed that Antonio Gibson is on his roster, I was interested. But I went with, you know, after he took that decision out of my hands, I went with Cook, who I like. You know, I thought he got seemed to become more comfortable in that offense as the season went on. You know, I don't know if there's room for him to have a 60 or 70 catch season in the Buffalo offense because Josh Allen just does not dump off that often. But, I mean, Cook actually showed us something as a runner last year, too. And obviously, you know, that offense is really good and it's going to score a lot of touchdowns. So feeling pretty good about him as a third back. I don't know if I'd want him as my second, but as an RB3, I'm feeling pretty happy with Cook.
Pat making the Ron Rivera joke right as I'm taking a drink of water too. Yeah, I almost spit it up right on my computer.
Not cool, Pat.
Well done.
Friedman,
nice timing.
You took AJ Dillon at 909, who had a one good game to start the season and then one good game to end it basically. So what do you think in the middle happens in 2023?
I mean, I think there's a chance he actually is the number one number one running back within that offense. He was the goal line guy. And for a big body back, he's actually pretty good catching the ball. And let's imagine that the offense maybe isn't as horrible in Green Bay as we would expect in the post Aaron Rodgers era. And if that's the case, I think Dillon could have 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns.
There you go. Well, that would certainly be a lot. That's what Pat and I were hoping for last year. We did not get that. Just want to point that out. Dalton Schultz at 9-10. He's in a new home too in Houston. So he'll be playing for the Texans this season. Then you have Gabriel Davis at 9-11. Tyler Algier at 9-12, along with Michael Thomas. So Friedman, you don't have to go double Saints here, there, and roll the dice with all the Saints. 10-02, Cole Kmet goes next. That could be a really interesting one. 10-03, here's a fun one. Devon Achane goes to needs more cowbell. So the speed there of Achane, I like that pick a lot at 10-03. Savvy. Then we have Damian Harris at 10-04 to Matthew Friedman. Again, just taking some volume here, I see.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about taking him right after Fitz took James Cook just to troll, but I decided I would, you know, practice some restraint. Also, if Michael Thomas had been here, I probably would have taken him because I hate myself. But Damian Harris, I don't want to say I'm getting the goal line back in Buffalo because we all know that that is Josh Allen. But if somehow the Buffalo Bills are able to convince Josh Allen not to run the ball so much at the goal line, Damian Harris is very much in line for that work in an offense that could be one of the best in the league. And, you know, James Cook, 190-pound back, maybe he's not going to see the volume that we would expect out of a, you know, a guy who was taken in the second round last year. So I like the shot on Harris here in the 10th round.
Okay, looking forward to after Harris, then Pat, you took Elijah Moore at 10-05. He's got a new home too in Cleveland. There are enough targets here for him, in your opinion, in this offense?
I hope so. I really don't know if it's going to be him or Donovan Peoples-Jones as like the second pass catcher. And heck, it could be David Njoku. But I guess I am still clinging to that, whatever it was, 6-week stretch in Elijah Moore's rookie year where he was the wide receiver 4. With bad quarterbacks throwing him the ball. But, you know, as that gets further in the rearview mirror, I mean, it feels like I'm clinging to the wreckage of a shipwreck, you know, but I'm still optimistic. I do think Elijah Moore is a good player, and I'm hoping that, you know, maybe things click in Cleveland and he can sort of get his luster back a little bit.
All right, let's see if Jamal Williams can bring his luster with him to New Orleans at 10-06. Then Alan Lazard, interesting value here in a full PPR, 10-07. I mean, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he likes the buddy system. He brings his friends. 10-08, Geno Smith goes, and Eli Mitchell at 10-09. Justin Boone, that's why I love having you on the show, because people, you know, say, you say silly things sometimes, Joe. And I say, well, I think that Odell Beckham is worth a draft pick this year because they're paying him. And because it seems like with a renewed spirit of Lamar Jackson and a new offensive coordinator, maybe it could be better return on investment than you think. And you took him at 10-10. Do you see it the same way, or is this just the Friedman theory of, hey, I recognize that name on the board, I'm going to take him?
No, I think there's a couple things. In the 10th round, once again, we'll say it a million times, we're shooting for upside here. We know the last time we saw Beckham on the field, he was producing for the Rams before he got hurt, right? So I think the negative perception about him right now is just because the ridiculous storyline that he was going to come back and play last season when he had torn his ACL earlier in the year. There was no chance that he was going to come back late in the year and actually play. And if he did, he would have been terrible. So now he's going to be a year and a half, almost 2 years removed from that injury. He's not super old. Like, he's not, it's not like we're talking about a guy that's like 33, 34 or something. He's not Julio Jones. There's still something left in the tank. And then going back to all the things we said about the Ravens offense, I like that. And then there's one more factor, a name, Odell Beckham. Even if he starts the season off slow, I think I'd be able to trade him away to another manager, maybe someone more casual manager in the league that still believes in that name. So I think I could still get value if I decide early in the year that I don't think he has it.
Devin Singletary goes next to Houston. To Houston he goes, but he goes at 10-11. Then I decided to scoop in and take a couple running backs for some depth here. Ezekiel Elliott's going to sign somewhere. I don't know where. It's going to be somewhere. He'll probably fall in the end zone 8 times, so I'll take him at 10-12. At 11-01, Zach Charbonnet I'm also going to take because – again, it's just a weird situation. So I just want part of it because I know Seattle wants to run the football and we'll see who kind of wins out. I wonder if Charbonnet is just the better back, and certainly at 11-01, as opposed to the third round value of Ken Walker, give me that all day long. I am so mad though, because 11-02, Chris just took Dalton Kincaid because I figured everyone's got tight ends. I'm going to take Kincaid in this next round. I'm going to be super smart. Nope. This is why our listeners are our listeners. They are super cagey there. So damn you, Chris. All right, let's go to Justin Boone, 11-03. What do you have for us?
I'm going to go. There was between two guys for me. It was either Raheem Mostert or Deonta Foreman that were right kind of up there, the two guys that were much further than everyone else up my board.
How could you contain yourself with those exciting players?
I think that Mostert is going to start the year in the lead spot for Miami, and eventually he probably will get hurt. I think we got lucky that he played as many games that he did last season. So I think he's going to get hurt and lose that job, but I'll take that kind of value in the 11th round and see what I can get from him early in the year. And with Foreman, if I had gone that way, I don't know if I'm going to talk somebody else into a pick here though, but I think there's a chance. We saw him produce last year, perform very well. I think there's a non-zero chance that he is the lead back in Chicago. And at this point in the draft, you might as well take a shot on that. Roshan Johnson, talented, but a day three pick, so no guarantees. There's something about it that I think that Foreman is going to get a shot to get a lot of carries in that offense, be the goal line back, and be a good fantasy producer.
He might be. I like Roshan, though, so keep an eye on that backfield. That's another one of those cheap backfields to take advantage of and get a two out of the three guys and hope it works out. Sky Moore at 11-04, Zay Flowers at 11-05, so Piggy continues to pound the pavement here. Jeff Wilson, the other counterpart, 11-06. Zay Jones goes to Run Lynch, 11-07. That puts Pat on the clock at 11-08. Pat, what do you have?
I'm going to take Kenneth Gainwell here. And man, I was really hoping Zach Charbonnet would fall to me, but you took care of that for me, Joe. And, I was also very interested in Raheem Mostert, but, Boone stole him off my plate. So, I had some interest in Deonta Foreman, but less so in a full point PPR league, because I think that's the one thing he's not going to do. There just aren't going to be any receptions for him. So unless they really commit to him as like the primary early down back, I'm not sure you're going to squeeze enough value out of Foreman in a PPR. Kenneth Gainwell, on the other hand, in that very ambiguous backfield, running behind a great offensive line, great offense, and he can catch passes. So I think he's going to have some role there. If anyone gets hurt, the role expands a little bit. He's going to be a little unpredictable, but I think he's a decent bye week type of back to have.
All right, let's go to your pick here, Friedman. You took a wide receiver in Houston, Nico Collins. So what do you think about him and Stroud potentially in 23?
Yeah, I mean, the theory here is that he's getting a massive quarterback upgrade. Brandon Cooks is no longer there. Robert Woods is there, but Robert Woods, when we last saw him, he looked a little bit dusty. And so I think Nico Collins has a shot to be the number one wide receiver on the team, and he's a big athletic guy, so I might as well take the shot there.
Okay. What do you think of John Mechie's return as well, Friedman? Just curious how he might work himself back in there.
I like Mechie, but I'm a little bit skeptical given the condition that he is returning from, and he's going to play in the slot primarily. So maybe he ends up being a little bit of a volume hog, but I'm kind of going with the guy who's actually played some NFL snaps so far.
See, in the full PPR, I think Mechie's a cagey late round pick in a deeper league because he's playing the slot, and that was his role in Alabama, man. He moved those chains. I mean, Jameson Williams was the big play guy, and John Mechie was the first down guy every time. So that's going to be an interesting shakeout for sure. Jalen Hyatt goes at 11-10. Then Jerick McKinnon, who's back again to ruin everything, 11-11. DJ Chark at 11-12. Then looking in the 12th round here, we have Kendre Miller going to the New Orleans Saints here, being drafted. He's at 12-01. Then Deonta Foreman, who Boone was just talking about, goes at 12-02. Sam Laporta at 12-03, the new Detroit tight end. So interesting selection here. Then Anthony Richardson, 12-04. You did it. You pulled the trigger. How do you feel, Friedman?
I feel great. Won the draft. Got my guy. There you go. In theory, I would have wanted to be able to get him later, but I knew that, you know, just looking at the tool in here, you can sort by round or by roster. And so sorting by roster, I could see Run Lynch, who's after me in this round, and then, you know, ahead of me coming back the next round. I could see that he also didn't have a quarterback, and I was just sort of assuming that Anthony Richardson was probably his guy. So I just wanted to go ahead and lock Richardson in before Run Lynch had a chance to get him.
And those are the kind of tools that we have here at Fantasy Pros. And if you have premium subscription here at Fantasy Pros, again, you get all those insights extra with the league syncs and then the draft sync software too. So you can make those good decisions just like Matthew Friedman just did. Be like Matthew Friedman and go premium today. All right, let's go to the next pick here. Another one out of my queue and onto your team here, Pat Fitzmaurice. You already had a tight end. Why you got to be greedy like this?
Yeah, I know. Because, Joe, we don't think about these things in May, but I know you guys have all experienced the agony of trying to replace a tight end in October on the waiver wire and just being appalled at what the options are. So I'm going to take care of that and just, you know, back up Freiermuth. And I'm excited about Okonkwo. He looked so good last year. You know, like, plus there's not a lot of target competition in Tennessee. I mean, he could potentially have a really big target share and be like a tight end one.
Yeah, I am not excited about the tight ends remaining when it comes to me. I just want to point that out there. But let's continue on because you sniped me and then our good friend Justin Boone did the same thing. So before we get to Boone's pick here, as I continue to be irritable, Kirk Cousins goes at 12:06, then Leonard Fournette 12:07, Tua at 12:08, Cordarrelle Patterson at 12:09, and then, of course, Greg Dulcich to you, Justin Boone. So there's no tight ends for me to play with now. Sucks.
I like the player. I definitely do. I think he could be a top 10 tight end this year in that offense. Sean Payton has loved using tight ends in the past. I also, and this is a valid point, you don't want someone getting great value later in the draft like that. And I didn't want him getting back to you. So I'm happy that you have to deal with Mike Gesicki this season.
Mm-hmm. All those nice things I said about all of you, I take them all back. Like, I thought you guys were my friends. I thought we were going to have fun here today. Nope, no fun at all. All right, continuing on here, looking at the rankings and what's available to me. It ain't much at this time, that's for sure. And looking at my roster, well, I had to go ahead and take a tight end because I didn't have one. So I just took Mike Gesicki. Yeah, that's how the draft's going for me. I am not going to do very well, I can tell you right now, in the draft wizard grades. I'm sure it's going to hate me, but we shall see. Continuing to look on to Adam Thielen's not a guy that I want to invest in. Neither is Rondale Moore in that offense. So looking at other wide receivers, you know, I'm just going to take KJ Osborne here and just kind of play it safe and take another guy that I think with Adam Thielen gone. I know everyone's talking about Jordan Addison and that's great. I'm not the biggest Jordan Addison guy. I know I'm kind of in the minority there, but after Dulcich, Kareem Hunt before my two picks to lock down the 13th round, Chris is going to pick and then Boone. So Boone, what are you looking at for your last selection here?
There's not really a receiver that I'm super high on. I would have liked to have gone receiver at this point just to get one more because my wide receiver three spot might be a little bit thin. Like I said, my irrational love of Brandon Ayuk perhaps. But as we see, I think when you look at the draft board here, the second half of the draft, a lot of running backs. I think it's smart to go running back in that range. That's the quickest way to value. All you need is an injury to happen. And last year, though, I don't think that Jalen Warren is going to steal maybe as much work as he did from Harris last season. I think a Harris injury would open it up for Warren, and they can run the ball. They're trying to address the offensive line. I think we'll see a little bit better of an offense from the Steelers this year. So give me Jalen Warren as a one injury away guy.
Michael Carter at 13:02, right before you took Jalen Warren, then Aaron Rodgers at 13:04 to Raffi. Donovan Peoples-Jones goes at 13:05, then Hans Swolo at 13:06 selects next here. We're two picks away from Pat. So Pat, what are you eyeing here in this final round? Anything receiver-wise, running back depth? What do you have in mind here?
Yeah, I'm kind of going BPA, and I'm not real excited about what I'm seeing at the running back position. So one thing I'm thinking of doing is just like I'm about, you know, 1 foot away from giving up on this guy entirely. But
oh no,
I'm still intrigued by the physical package that Chase Claypool brings to the table. and I've got Justin Fields. And, you know, I know it's a lot of target competition on a team that's going to run the ball a lot. But, you know, maybe if there's an injury somewhere, Claypool could potentially step up and fulfill his potential. So I'm going to go with Mapletron here, Chase Claypool.
All right. So Claypool goes to Fitz. Friedman, you're at 13:09 for your final pick.
Yeah, it's really disgusting here. I just took Zach Evans. And part of it is because that's the only name I recognize. No, a lot of it has to do with just Cam Akers' pessimism. You know, Akers has sort of had opportunities to be the guy with the Rams, and he hasn't really done it. Zach Evans is coming in as a former five-star recruit who's, you know, he's got decent size, who's got decent pass-catching capability. I think he will be a change of pace player. Or at least has the possibility of being a change of pace player pretty quickly. And then if he plays well, I could see him stealing the job. So Evans is a late round guy with some potential upside in an offense with the Rams that's maybe better than a lot of people would expect. You still got Sean McVay as the head coach there. I'm just taking a shot at it.
Okay, well, the shot that we took here, I ended up with a C. 73 out of 100, as I predicted. Again, I don't mind this roster, to tell you the truth. My big takeaway from this first draft, before we get to your grades, and I'm fascinated to hear what you guys have to say about it too. I know sometimes we hit those transition years where we have a lot of unknowns. This feels like that year. Once you get past the first 6-7 rounds of this draft, Friedman, do you get that feeling that there's just so many unknowns and so much youth in the league that you really don't know where to go quite yet? And some of these, you know, picks that we think might be good here towards the end could be awful. And then some of these picks that we think we're just throwing darts might actually be great. Do you get that feeling?
Yeah. I mean, that's the case. And I would say, I feel like it starts earlier than like round six for me. I was trying to be generous,
but you're right. Yeah.
I mean, I look after round three and it's just like, oh man, I don't know if I want some of these guys. I feel like it's a weird year where last year, like the circumstances for some of these players were very similar and I could see those guys in a positive light. And now for so many of these players, I look at them and it just feels like the negative case for them is just a little bit stronger than it was last year. And it's like that across the board.
Boone, do you have that same feeling where you're looking around here and you're seeing just so many questions without enough answers? And does that mean the answer might be some of these new players, the Devon Achane's, the Quentin Johnson, some of these rookies to step up and make the impact as opposed to these retreads in new places or these guys getting second or third opportunities?
Yeah, I think it starts with the rookie class this year that, and you see it in dynasty rookie drafts that after like the first, there's a pretty clear top six. And then, you know, after that, it kind of in talking super flex kind of expands out. There's some receivers after that. So maybe the top eight, top nine are locked in. And then after that, every dynasty rookie draft I've been in this year has been completely different. People are valuing guys differently. And I don't think we know about some of these situations like Zach Charbonnet, who I love that pick that you made. A guy like that, there's a possibility that he could eat into Ken Walker's work so much that all of a sudden he's the more valuable fantasy player and it's more of a split backfield. There's so many situations like that. So yeah, I totally see that happening this year. And it's going to make drafts really interesting. The rookie drafts have been wild. And I can't wait to do more of these redraft leagues just to kind of see where everyone is valuing the guys. Because I think it's going to be just massive discrepancies. And you're going to see some guys go really early. It was happening here where I had my list on the side and there were still guys available that, you know, I was kind of surprised they were available where they were. So it's going to make it really fun.
Congratulations from the insides to Ron Lynch, who won the draft. So there you go. No reason to play it out. You're already the champion. So Ron Lynch, congratulations. You're the big winner here today. The best of us, well, it was a fourth place finish. Matthew Friedman, fourth. Justin Boone in fifth. Pat Fitzmorrison, seventh. And me at 10. Just, you know, shame on me. Pat, looking through your insights in terms of expert opinions or anything like that, I know you liked my draft, so that's all that I really care about. And I liked my draft, which is, again, shocking. But what do you think, Pat, in terms of some of the insights that you get here from the Draft Wizard at the end of all things?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just waiting for it to come up here and see who likes me.
I like you, Pat.
Let's see. Oh, thank you so much.
Friedman tolerates you, but I like you.
Yeah. Well, let's see. So Dalton Del Don is really high on my draft.
There you go.
That's good. I like Dalton. We're friends. So that's positive. Yeah, I mean, I figured that I was going to grade out not super high, and I got a C plus because of my lack of strength at the running back position, which is kind of how I build my teams. I want the pass catchers to come first and, you know, an amalgam of guys I can throw at the running back position. And that's why, as you know, Justin was talking about, the rookie running backs are going to matter so much. We know some of these guys, including some of the day three guys, are going to hit and shake up backfields. And it's just kind of a matter of who, you know, maybe it is Zach Evans. You know, maybe he does steal Cam Akers' job, even though he got his own job stolen away by a freshman last year at Ole Miss. But it's entirely possible that, you know, we're going to see multiple rookie running backs kind of come out of the fog and steal prominent roles in year one.
And Pat's got a fun team here. Justin Fields, Travis Etienne, Pacheco, Cooper Kupp, Amon Ross St. Brown, Drake London. Man, I love the wide receiving core, Pat. I think you crushed this. Pat Freiermuth, then you got Cook, Jahan Dotson, Elijah Moore, Chiggy, Ken Gainwell, and Chase Claypool. Boone, your roster, Lamar Jackson, Christian McCaffrey, right off there could be a championship. Jahmyr Gibbs, then Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Brandon Ayuk, Darren Waller, Alexander Mattison, the flex on the bench of P. Ryan, Raheem Mostert, Greg Dulcich, Jaylen Warren, and Odell Beckham. How do you feel about this roster? What would you grade yourself, Boone?
I mean, obviously 100. No, I think it could have been a little bit higher. I think maybe around, you know, a 90 out of 100. But it's fine. The thing that I can't get over here, you know, like if you have a dream where someone wrongs you in your dream and you wake up and you're like kind of irrationally mad at that person and you're kind of like, you know, I can't believe they did that. And then you let it go. Well, I'm looking at the thumbs down section, the expert opinions. Pat Fitzmaurice did not like my draft in here. I'm taking it personal, Pat.
Day after class, and Pat will go ahead and give you some instructions and some things you need to do to fix. Friedman, looking back at your draft here too, you have Anthony Richardson, James Conner, David Montgomery, Stephon Diggs, DK Metcalf, Amari Cooper, Travis Kelce, Kamara, Dylan, Damian Harris, lots of RB depth there, Pickens, Nico Collins, Zach Evans. You have no fear. Anthony Richardson's your guy here. Obviously, you could always pick up another QB floating on the waiver wire in a single QB league. But how do you feel about the way this roster shook out here as we kick things off in draft season?
Yeah, I wish my running back room were a little bit better, but that's the way it always goes when you take a tight end first and then three straight wide receivers. You know, you kind of have to take what falls to you. You know, I would like my room a little bit better if instead of James Conner, I had someone else as my number one running back. You know, that could have been Miles Sanders, almost Miles Sanders, but not. So, you know, I feel like this draft was close, but still James Conner, David Montgomery, I'm okay with those guys as my top two running backs because I'm just wild that way. And I hope that if they don't work out, maybe Alvin Kamara can come back from suspension. Maybe AJ Dillon and Damian Harris somehow score touchdowns. The running back room is the big concern here. But other than that, I feel okay about the roster.
Everyone's worried about their running back room, I'm sure. Joe Burrow for me, Breece Hall, Dalvin Cook, Jamar Chase, Devonta Smith, Christian Watson, Mike Gesicki, because everyone took all the tight ends for me because you guys are jerks. And then Calvin Ridley, Jacoby Myers, Ezekiel Elliott, Zach Charbonnet, Quentin Johnson, and KJ Osborne. Again, not perfect, but certainly this is where we have to begin things. But it's tough out there in the streets, which means you should go get all the practice you can. Make sure you get the Draft Wizard app. Make sure you go to fantasypros.com/draftwizard. Run some simulations. If you're playing best ball, go out there and run them as well. Justin Boone, it's always great to have you on the program. It's great to catch up with you. You can follow him on the Twitter machine at Justin Boone, funny enough, and check out all his great work at The Score. And that'll do it for us. Just a shout out to one more thing to everyone who drafted with us. We appreciate you. And if you want to get involved, don't forget, go join our Discord, fantasybros.com/chat. It's free to join. We're pulling people from Discord. We're pulling people from Twitter. So come in, join the Fantasy Pros family, and you can be a part of these kind of shows as well, because we like to draft against you because we're the people place at Fantasy Pros. No robots for us. Oh, no. We like the people. We're the people's program. On that note, that'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For Fitz and Friedman and Justin Boone, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyer's.com today.